Good morning to you all. It's good to see you all on this Sunday, very especially not here as a gathering community, but as gathering at home because of the situation around us. Therefore, before we listen to the word of God, let us come before God with a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this time that you have given us to come as your children to listen to your word and ponder upon your words. And may these words become light to us and a light to our way and your guiding presence as we go forward in our journey. In that understanding, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. For almost 10 years now, a group of Christians have gathered on Sunday mornings at a friendship park, a plaza along the US-Mexico border, the border wall, to share worship and communion. I read about gatherings this week in an article by Amy Frycone, who visited the community last November. Apparently, this border church has survived every obstacle the US border patrol and shifting United States-Mexico relations have thrown at it. The border patrol did not allow the two sides to stand close enough to hear each other's words. They stand 50 feet apart and conduct worship over cell phones. The participants were forbidden to pass food and drink through the fence. They practice sacramental solidarity and serve parallel Eucharist on each side of the border. Some years ago, when the chain link border fence gave way to a steel barrier, worshippers continued to pass the peas across the border, pinky to pinky, through tiny holes in the wall. Even these days, under COVID-19 lockdown and the social distancing, the church meets via Zoom and Sunday worship via line online called Church at Home. It was helpful for me to read Frycone's article as I was preparing this sermon. For the fourth Sunday of Easter, traditionally known as Good Shepherd Sunday, the lectionary offers us the gospel passage so dense and layered, it's easy to get lost and bogged down. In 10 verses of packed metaphor, John gives us sheep, a sheepfold, a shepherd, a gate, a gatekeeper, a pastor, a sneaky band of thieves and bandits, and a sinister group of smooth-tongued strangers. What exactly does a sheepfold represent? Is it heaven, or a church, or our hearts? Who are the thieves and bandits? Are they different from the strangers with the creepy voices? What about the gatekeeper? Is the gatekeeper God, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus himself? No. Hold on. How can Jesus be the gatekeeper if he is the gate? Doesn't he say that he is the gate? And he says it twice on this passage. Actually, how can he be the gatekeeper or the gate if he is a shepherd? It is also tempting to read this passage from a place of complacency and privilege, to assume that we are automatically the insiders, snug inside the sheepfolds of our own merits, that we are never the sheep who heed the stranger's seductive voice, that we never resort to deceptive shortcuts instead of entering through the gate, that we never play the role of bandit or thief in other people's lives, that we faithfully follow the lead of the shepherd when he ventures into new and risky terrain. But I don't think this passage of scripture is meant to stop us or flatter us. I think it's meant to reveal Jesus to us. Yes, Jesus the Good Shepherd, who offers us guidance, nurture, direction, and protection. But also more. As I reflect on the scripture lessons for the Sunday, for this Sunday, especially the figure of Good Shepherd, I believe that all these authors, Ezekiel, Psalmist, Apostle Peter, and John the disciple, point to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as the fulfillment of what was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. To connect with today's scripture lessons and to reflect how the author points to how Jesus the Good Shepherd fulfills what was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, let me take you all back to last Sunday. Just to refresh our metaphors of what Father Trev shared with us through his five main points. Father Trev opened with a question. What was the scripture did Jesus open with those disciples on the way to Emmaus? He said that the disciples were not expecting to see Jesus alive because no one survives that kind of crucifixion. Secondly, he said that they were grief-stricken with anger, grief, pain, etc. Therefore, they could not see anything beyond their grief and pain. Thirdly, he said that their concentration was on other matters. If I unpack the other matters, maybe they were worried about their leaderlessness, which can lead for possible divisions within the disciples. Fourth, he said that two men may be blindfolded with possible domestic violence. Sorry. Finally, Father Trev said that Jesus was trying to make them to understand what they were speaking and worried about. From grief to something better. From the grave to Emmaus Road. And from there to a clear reflection of the Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as a fulfillment of what was overshadowed in the Old Testament. Jesus is putting all things together to put the puzzles together, Father Trev said. To do that, he opens up a conversation with all those who are worry-stricken.
intervenes in their confused and escaping journey, disturbing them to look back and joining them at their meal table and blessing the food. And when they recognized him, he vanished from their sight. With this background, let us focus our thoughts on what the scripture lessons for today opens our minds to reflect. Especially when Jesus disappeared from their table gathering, the two disciples on the way to Emmaus said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us?" Which scripture are they telling about? At this time, the New Testament has not come into existence. Therefore, they are referring to Old Testament. The lessons of scripture that they have read. And now, that is something they have heard from this man. And now he is gone from them. So they say, that didn't he open the scripture to us, which we heard before? Reflecting upon Ezekiel's calling, "The word of the Lord came to me," mortal prophecy against the shepherd of Israel. And this is said 49 times in this passage. My mind went into assessing this call. Why this call came specially to Ezekiel? What was special on him? He was a broken man. Because he was working and living among the captives and exiled at Babylon. I can understand his brokenness because I too, as a minister, lived and served in a war zone, journeying between the army in occupation and the liberation fighters or rebels, which situation led me to be the pastoral spokesman for the captives and exiles. It was a very risky journey. I believe that Ezekiel's call, life and ministry, foreshadows and points to Jesus, whose body was broken for us. Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you." Broken body of Jesus becomes the means for the scattered people of God to be reunited in the glory of the risen Christ. Ezekiel's prophetic ministry and leadership amongst the captives and the exiles foreshadows in some sense Jesus' event of cross, where Jesus' body was broken for us, for our redemption. It is Bonhoeffer who said, "When Christ calls us, he bids us to come and die." Ezekiel was a prophetic shepherd for the Jews, then a role at Jews at that time, and a role model for us now. He tells God's people then and now that God will fulfill his promises. Their land, their city, their temple will be restored to them. In other words, he reveals God's plan, vision and purpose for them. Ezekiel foreshadowed Jesus' ministry in some sense in this background, revealing God's plan to Jews in captivity and exile, and then to the people who are to follow him. His prophetic ministry and leadership unpacks how Jesus fulfills what the Old Testament has foretold about the Messiah, divinely appointed deliverer and ruler of Israel. In Hebrew terms, Messiah means the anointed one. In Greek, it is translated as Christos, the title given to Jesus. The fundamental belief of the Christian church is that Messiah was foretold in the Old Testament. And we can refer this in Daniel chapter 9 verse 25. And then again in John, in the New Testament chapter 1, verse 41 and verse 25. Daniel, he says this, "Know therefore and understand from the time that the word went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the time of an anointed prince." And then the Samaritan woman in John's story, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming." And then Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you. I am he, the one who is speaking to you." For me, a particular revelation of Jesus happened when I thought about the metaphors in this gospel passage alongside Freiholm's article about the tenacious little border church between the United States and Mexico. Suddenly, as I imagined eager, loving hands reaching through small gaps in a cold steel barrier, as I pictured the insistent sharing of song, prayer, bread and wine across a bleak, intractable border. The resonance of Jesus' metaphor hit me in full force. I am the gate. Not I am the wall, the barrier, the enclosure, or the dividing line. Not I am who separates, isolates, segregates, or incarcerates. I am the gate, the door, the opening, the passageway, the place where freedom begins. Journey towards redemption and restoration of the world unfolds. Life that reaches through any opening, it can find, however small, however fragile, however tenuous, and insist on generous self-giving. "This is my body, given for you. Take and eat." Some historians argue that the shepherds in Jesus' day often placed themselves across the openings of their sheepfolds during times of danger, literally offering up their bodies for their flocks. Jesus as a shepherd, Jesus as gate, Jesus as sacrificial lamb slain for us. At the end of her article, Amy Freiholm quotes John Fanstill, one of the founding pastors of the church in the Friendship Park. Fanstill says he shows up each Sunday to demonstrate the true nature of the border, where others see a place of crime, fear, death, and hopelessness. Fanstill insists that those who gather for worship and communion each week see a place of encounter, exchange, friendship, fellowship, and transformation. In other words, they make it their practice to see Jesus and recognize him, the risen Jesus, the gate, the unlock, wide open, inviting freely, long-awaited good news foretold in the Old Testament. May we have our eyes open to see him in our context too. Amen.